I appreciate you guys having faith in me to do that. Like I said, the first time that I get up here, it's a great honor to be able to preach the Word of God. And hopefully I have done that in a way that is pleasing and to the sight of God. Along those lines, if there's anything that I say tonight that is unscriptural, then I invite you to let me know after services. Please come to me and correct me. I can assure you that it is nothing that is intentional, and so that I can maybe correct that for next time. There was a small part of my life to where I got into building puzzles. It wasn't a big hobby of mine, but there was about 2 or 3 years there when I was younger to where I liked to put together puzzles. And I started out really small and got to about 500 pieces, 1,000-piece puzzles, which for some of you guys maybe is no big deal. And it was always a satisfying feeling that once I got to the very end and put that last piece in, knowing that I was complete, that it was finished, that all that hard work, whether it took hours, whether it took days, or whether it took even months, is now complete. But now every once in a while, I got to the end and there was one piece left or two pieces left. I looked down and there were no more pieces to put in place. Either I had lost the pieces or maybe they were in the box. And maybe for some of you out there, maybe that's fine. I've done everything that I can and it's just bad luck. For me, it was frustrating. Put in all that work and it's just not finished. There's that little gaping hole that's just staring at me, mocking me. It wasn't complete. It wasn't finished. The Bible is the same way, that there are pieces to the Bible that when we leave those pieces out, it's incomplete. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, are the pieces of the Bible. Exactly what the Bible says in regards to going to heaven, the things that we need to do. We're going to talk about some of the things that really cause a lot of divisions between churches today. Depending on where you go, you hear a lot of different things in regards to what you have to do to go to heaven. We're going to look at several of those things tonight, and see if we can solve this mystery, as in, what do we really need to do to go to heaven? What is most important? Is it grace? Is it faith? Is it baptism? And we're going to look at what the Scriptures say in regards to those issues. And as we go further along, we're going to put together the pieces of God's puzzle. We're going to start by looking at, before we get to the board, Psalm 119, verse 160. Says, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. Every single part of the Bible is true in whatever it says. From beginning to end, God's word is completely true and accurate. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Goes along the lines of what we're going to get to by the end of this. First of all, we look at the grace of God. Is the grace of God something that we need to go to heaven? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. If you skip on down to verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we're told here in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace. What is grace? What is the grace of God? Well, to answer that question, we have to make this point very clear, that none of us are perfect. Everybody in this building, everybody on this earth makes mistakes and has sin in our lives. There's only one perfect man to ever walk this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. So we all have sin, which means that none of us are worthy of going to heaven on our own. There's nothing that we can do. We cannot earn our way into heaven. So what this is saying here is that the grace of God means that God has mercy on our souls. God has forgiveness of our sins. So it says here that we are saved by grace. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. There's another word that we're going to see a lot tonight, in salvation. Salvation is a path of getting to heaven. When we have salvations, it means that we have accomplished our goal of getting to heaven. God has rewarded us with an eternity in heaven. So in order to get salvation, it says that the grace of God has appeared. Acts chapter 15 verse 11 says, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as you are also. Alright, so we see how these three passages, specifically here in Acts chapter 15, that we are saved through grace. No way about it. We are saved through grace. Can I be any clearer than that? We can only get to heaven through the grace of God. All right, so if we stop right here, then that's pretty much it. We solve the mystery of how do we get to heaven. It's only through the grace of God. But if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, then we get a different story. Starting in verse 18, it says, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 says, "Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The blood of Christ has opened the door for us as Christians. Now let's have a quick history lesson in that if you go back and look at the Old Testament and look at ancient Judaism, the way to get forgiveness of sins was to have animal sacrifices. Goats, lambs. And so that's what the first part of this passage is talking about. It says, not through the blood of goats and calves, but rather through the blood of Jesus Christ. That when Jesus came to die on this earth, on the cross, was crucified for the redemption of our sins, then His blood is now what washes away those sins. So is the blood of Christ essential in us going to heaven? Is the blood of Christ important for us to make it to heaven? He had paved the way. We no longer have animal sacrifices because He sacrificed Himself. So is it just through the blood of Christ that we have salvation? Matthew chapter 26 verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of our sins." If you look at different translations, it says of the new covenant or of the new testament. You know, the entire Bible is the entire word of God. You take one verse out of it and the entire thing is disrupted. Old Testament and New Testament. But when we look at what we need to do to go to heaven, we don't look at the Old Testament anymore. Because that's what the blood of Christ did. It brought us into a new covenant. It brought us into a new law. So that everything in the Old Testament, in regards to getting salvation, is thrown out. So it is because of the blood of Christ that we now have these new set of rules. It is because of the blood of Christ that we now have this new hope, this new opportunity. But is it the only thing that we need? John chapter 6 verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's that word salvation again. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So we have the gospel, the Bible. This leads us toward salvation. It says it right here. It says this is the power for salvation. Without it, we cannot have it. Acts chapter 11 verse 14 says, "And He will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." So up to this point, we've looked at three different points here. We've looked at the grace of God that's important for salvation. We've looked at the blood of Christ. Now we're looking to the gospel itself. Which one is true? Which one do we really need to go to heaven? Which one is the most important? Because we've seen all three pretty much say the same thing, that this leads to salvation. But we're only getting started because there are many, many more things in the Bible, or rather in the New Testament, that we are told that we must do. We must also have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." It says that without faith it is impossible to please God. If we don't have faith that what is in the gospel is true, if we don't have faith that God exists, if we don't have faith that Jesus was the Son of God, everything else you pretty much throw out the window. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. So we see faith and grace in this passage. So do we need both? Rather, I'll argue that as we go further along, we're going to continue to see some connections here in between grace and faith, in between faith and believing. That's exactly what faith is. Faith is believing something that maybe there's not a whole lot of proof that something exists. Nobody has ever seen God that is on this earth. But yet we have to have faith that He exists. We have to have faith that what is in the Bible is what we have to go by. All right, so we're told here that we obtain our introduction by faith into this grace. So do we need both? Does grace and faith go together? John chapter 8, verse 24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins." That's a pretty bleak outlook. "You will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." So unless we have faith in God, then we're going to die in our sins, which means that we will not have an eternity in heaven. We shall perish in hell. So again, this is pretty clear cut in that if we don't have faith in Christ, if we don't have faith that God exists, if we don't have faith that everything in this book is real, then we will surely die in our sins, which means that we cannot go to heaven. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." So, for more proof that faith is essential in going to heaven. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. All right, so is faith the most important thing that we need? Is that what matters now, is faith? It says that you will be saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus. Is everything else thrown out? Is this all that we need? If we stop there and only look at this passage, that's pretty much what we're left with. This is all that you have to go to heaven. And that sounds pretty easy to me. Have faith that the Bible is accurate. Have faith that God exists, that Jesus was the Son of God, that He came to earth to die for our sins. Sounds pretty simple. And that's the way that a lot of people think. And if we stop right there, then that's pretty much what we get. But we're not going to stop right there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We've already read this passage already, but it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Verse 17, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." So we see there a connection as well from the gospel to faith as well. All right, so if you're confused, then you're not alone. Which one is right? These passages seem to contradict with each other. One verse says one thing, another verse says completely different. So which one is the true way of getting to heaven? We see that there are also more things that we need to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." We're told that we must also have works in God. We must be obedient to Him, to follow His words, and to have works in that. A lot of people believe that you get to heaven by doing good deeds, whether it's helping the poor, whether it's helping those that need help, whether it's coming to services. You get to heaven by having those actions. But we read earlier that you can't work your way to heaven. So is it works alone that gets us to heaven? Is it an important part? It doesn't say that if you don't have works, then you're going to go to hell. So does this matter? Is it as important as the other pieces? What we're seeing here is that there are a lot of different things that we're told to do. And the question that comes into play is, which one is the true way to heaven? Which one do we follow? Which one is the most important? And as you read throughout the New Testament, then things begin to get pretty fuzzy. If you only pick out one passage at a time, only makes things more confusing when you add in the topic of repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation." but the sorrow of the world produces death. So we see here that repentance also leads to salvation. All right, we've also seen where faith leads to salvation. We have to have the grace of God in order to go to heaven. So which one, again, do we go by? Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know, there are several passages here that where you just cannot deny what it's trying to say. There are parts of the Bible that are confusing that can really have two or three different translations. There's no way to translate this any other way. You have to repent of your sins or you will not go to heaven. So once again, I'll ask the question, does everything up to this point, is it voided out? Is repentance the only thing that you need? That's pretty clear cut. If you don't do it, then you will not go to heaven. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Now, the whole idea of repentance is just this, is that it's forgiveness of sins. But now, it's not just forgiveness of sins. True repentance means that you give forgiveness of your sins, because again, we all have sin. Nobody is exempt from that. You ask God for forgiveness of your sins, and then you do everything that you can to not go back to that sin. It's not that I ask forgiveness of doing this act, and then I go right back out and do it again, time and time and time again. It's that I get forgiveness and to do everything that I can to not return to that sin. And that's what we see here in Acts chapter 3. Repent and return. Return from the ways of the devil. We also make a connection between that and making a confession. Philippians chapter 2 verse 11 says, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Back in the first century, there was one of the biggest debates in between Christianity and Judaism was whether or not Jesus was the Son of God. That's what led to the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus, was that the Jews believed that he was a false prophet. And for the decades after Jesus' crucifixion, that was one of the main goals of Christians, was to convince those that Jesus was the Son of God, that he came to this earth to die for our sins. So this confession that it's talking about here is just that. That every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. If we go further into Romans chapter 10, it says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. There's that word again. So his confession is an essential part of going to heaven. Making that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to the earth to die for our sins, is that important? Again, we're told here that it leads to salvation. We've seen a lot of things tonight that leads to salvation. Which one actually takes us there? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So we see here that if we live our lives in a way that is not faithful to God, then we face the threat of not going to heaven. There are two certainties in this world, that we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back before then, and that we will all be judged before God. When that judgment comes, Jesus says that if you do not confess me before men, if you do not make that confession, then I will deny you when that time comes. What a sad and scary thought that we appear before God, that we're up before the judgment. And we hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. And have an eternity in hell. So if we don't make that confession, that's pretty much what Jesus is going to say. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, that God abides in him and he in God. So looking back on it so far, we've seen a lot of different things that are pretty straightforward. That we have to do this if we want to go to heaven. They all seem to contradict with each other. Is it faith? Is it the grace of God? Is it repentance? Is it that confession? Is it the blood of Christ? Which one is it? Too many people these days, too many churches and congregations, do not teach of the importance of baptism. When we look at what the New Testament says about baptism, then we throw yet another wrench into this whole debate. Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says, Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What's the purpose of baptism? You hear a lot of it, we hear a lot about it here in our congregation at least. A lot about baptism. What is baptism? Well, baptism is the washing away of our sins. It is starting a brand new life, a clean soul, a clean slate. Is it important in going to heaven? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see here that baptism is essential. It says that it saves us. Well, I thought that grace saved us. We are saved through grace, right? Well, then what does baptism do? I thought that faith led to salvation. Is this false? Are those that don't believe that baptism is absolute for salvation, are they right? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. There's a word there that's added in here that we haven't seen so far. It says, who has believed and has been baptized. You see, when we look at what the Bible says in regards to what we have to do to go to heaven, we can't do this or this or this. It has to be this and this and this. Because again, if you look at just this passage alone, where he says, well, I got to believe that the gospel is true, and I have to be baptized. That's it, two things. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and each one of you be baptized. All right, so this passage says to repent, not believe, but repent. You see where a lot of people begin to get confused by what we have to do to go to heaven. But as we begin to wrap up the lesson tonight, that word and is very, very, very important. That when you look at the whole Scripture, then they all are accurate. They all are truth. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people go wrong, is that they look at just one passage. When we put all these verses individually, this is what we get. Just a bunch of scattered pieces. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They could be mistranslated. But when we put everything together, then it completes the puzzle. And only together can they lead to salvation. If you take just one little piece out, then the puzzle is incomplete. If you take one thing out of God's Word, then it's incomplete. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. If we leave out just one aspect, then everything is obsolete. If we believe in just baptism, just in repentance, just in the grace of God, then we're only doing part of what God tells us. We're told here in James that if you don't do it all, then it's all gone. Okay, going back to those situations where I finished the puzzle, but yet there was just one piece missing. It ate at me because it was not complete. It was not finished. That's how God sees us when we don't do everything that He asked. And there's a whole lot more than what we've talked about tonight. For the sake of time, I had to pretty much boil down the list as much as possible. But there are many more things that as you read through the New Testament, through the New Covenant, that we have to do. Things that we are required to do if we want to get to heaven. Is one more important than the other? You know, going back and talking about the topic of baptism, you know, that's one that really divides a lot of churches. And we talk about baptism a lot. Every single service, we talk about baptism. Here is the baptistry. Come forward and be baptized. We put a lot of emphasis on baptism. Is it important? Absolutely. We've seen that. Is it essential going to heaven? Absolutely. We've seen that. But is it the most important part? Is it the only thing that we have to do? Absolutely not. They are all equal in its own respect. And if we don't do it all, then we're not truly fulfilling the entire law of God. So as we reflect on our lives and we look at what we're doing to serve God and being faithful to God, are we completing everything that He asks of us? Because if we're not, if we're leaving out one or two things, one or two commandments, then you might as well take everything else and throw it out the door. Going back to that first passage that I quoted at the beginning, Psalm chapter 119, verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth. If you start taking away pieces of the Bible, then you start voiding out exactly what God says. Reminded of a story, I think I've told this before, but it's been a while. My grandfather, when he was alive, told a story that he had gone to a woman who he knew had not obeyed the gospel. She didn't go to church and had apparently gone to talk with her several times. And there was one passage that they talked about. They got on the topic of baptism. And she said, I don't believe that baptism is essential to going to heaven. And they brought out one of these verses, whether it's Mark 16:16 or Acts 2:38. And she said, well, that's not in my Bible. And they kind of looked at each other and said, really? Open your Bible up and let's see. So she opened her Bible, and sure enough, it wasn't there. She had taken a knife or a pair of scissors and have cut it out of the Bible. When we start doing that, then we start taking God's Word and we just chunk it out the window. If we take just one piece and disregard it, then we are not fulfilling what He wants. It is all or nothing with God, and if we don't do it all, then we will get nothing in return. Now, it sounds like a pretty bleak outlook because, once again, nobody's perfect. Nobody here is going to be perfect. But the point is that we have to constantly work towards salvation. We have to constantly make sure that we are doing what God commands of us. And keep that first and foremost in our minds. Because, once again, if we leave out just one little piece of the puzzle, then we risk the chance of not going to heaven. So as we close out tonight, I want us to examine our lives and see where we are at in regards to achieving salvation. Now, if you're not a Christian, then we have to look at what's on the board here. Again, when we put the New Testament down into a hole, we have to do each one of these things. You have to hear the Word of God. You can't become a Christian and go to heaven if you don't know the Word of God. Okay, do you believe it to be true? We've talked about several things tonight. Do you think that what was said tonight was true? Do you believe that the Word of God is the only truth that there is? You know, a lot of so-called Christian churches don't just go by the Bible, or maybe they don't even go by the Bible at all. We're told that the gospel of Christ, God's Word, is the one and truly Scriptures that we have to follow. So do you believe it to be true? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? If so, then make your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to die for our sins. Repent of your sins, and then be baptized. We do have water that's ready to go. Here in just a moment, as we sing the invitation song, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't done what's on the board here, then you need to do that. Be baptized, and when you come out of that water, then your soul is washed clean. You cannot go to heaven if you're not a Christian. And this is what you have to do to become a Christian. If you are a Christian, but maybe there are things in your life that you've left out. Maybe you haven't been completely faithful to God. Maybe you're doing okay in this area, in this area, in this area, but you've really slacked off in either coming to services or reading your Bible or praying or talking to others. There are a lot of things that we have to do. So if you don't have the confidence that if you leave this earth tonight that you're going to go to heaven, then you need to make a decision. Seems like every time I get up here, there's some kind of tragedy that I can relate to. Last weekend, a police officer in Huntsville was shot and killed on duty. And we watched several interviews and a lot of news coverage on the event, a true tragedy. And it was told that he knew that every time he went to work, there was a threat of him not returning home. Had a very dangerous job. But I wonder if, as he woke up last Friday morning, did he think, today's going to be my last? Did he know that this is going to be it? If he did, then would he have done things a little differently? Is there something in his life that he needed to correct? Either financially, spiritually, whatever it was. Were there things that were left undone? So I ask you the same question. If tonight is your time to leave this earth, is there anything that's left undone? Is the puzzle incomplete? If the answer is yes, then we ask you at this time, if you will, please come forward as we stand and as we